Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make truly informed decisions regarding your health and well-being. And as always, it's a pleasure to have you with me today, and it's great to have the opportunity to have these in-depth conversations so we can really get to some meaty discussions and topics and knowledge. I want to remind everyone that I have a wonderful website that is filled with great knowledge. In fact, many, many, many of my articles and even videos are freely available there. If you opt into What Women Must Know, you'll be able to get my special reports downloaded to you. So that's all about hormones and adrenals, and there's just so much we need to learn as women. So that's a great place to go. And also my Facebook page, which happens to be What Women Must Know, is also a great source of knowledge and education and strategies. I post on a pretty much on a daily basis great information, practical things that really make a difference in your life. So I encourage you to go up there and take a look, befriend me there. I just put a great posting up about the thyroid and everything we need to know and the kinds of tests we really need to be taking, not necessarily the ones that our doctors are giving us, and how do we address some of these thyroid issues. So that's a huge problem for so many of us. So go check it out. It's all there, and it's good stuff. So I want to talk about a subject that I've been really quite fascinated about, and I'm just learning myself. But what we're going to be doing today is having a really, really fascinating discussion about the use of cannabinoids. And we've been hearing more and more about how states such as Colorado are legalizing marijuana and hemp products. We're going to be exploring how they have been used historically for health and well-being. Particularly, we're going to learn about how these active ingredients found in the and I'll be corrected if I'm saying this wrong, I'm sure, in the hemp and marijuana plants have been researched and found to be beneficial for women, have been found to be very, very important for pain relief and also for addressing cancer. So we have lots to talk about today, and I have two experts who are going to help guide us through this really interesting topic. I have to say I have been quite interested in this because I have friends who have been using these products for pain and for cancer. So I'm here to learn more as well as you are. And to help us understand and be enlightened on this subject are two amazing women. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to Deanna Gabriel, who is a certified clinical herbalist and clinical nutritionist, and she received her clinical herbal training from the North American Institute of Medical Herbalism. She has developed a curriculum of study on cannabis therapeutics and cannabis medicine making, which includes detailed information about cannabinoids and their effects on the human body and health, applications and dosing strategies, and the creation of medicinal tinctures, oil infusions, and salves. And she's associated and works at Dixie Botanicals, which is a wonderful company that is providing these products not only to the residents of Colorado, but to people throughout the United States. I think it's freely available for people in the United States. And my second guest, who is also involved with Dixie Botanicals, or Dixie Elixirs as they're also called, Dixie Elixirs and Edibles, I think is the proper name, is Tamar Wise, who is head of the science division at Dixie Elixirs and Edibles, and a member of the MMED Lab Rules and Regulations Committee. And she has a dual degree from the University of Colorado in biochemistry and molecular, cellular, and developmental biology. So two really knowledgeable women. And first of all, welcome to both of you. I'm so glad you are able to make this show today.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. You know, this is a fascinating topic, and I've been learning as I've been going through a lot of the information that you have sent to me that there actually is an historical legacy of the use of cannabinoids in our health and for women's health, men's health. Gosh, I think maybe, well, let's explain what cannabinoids are. Let's start at the beginning, and then we can look how it's been used through history and how we are able to use it to support our health and dealing with chronic conditions in the present time. So how about who should jump in here? Who's the best one? Deanna?
Sure, I can get us started, and then Tamar can jump in with her chemistry
okay.
perspective as well. So when we talk about cannabinoids in terms of using medicinal cannabis, we're talking about constituents that are found in the plant themselves. So most of the listeners will be familiar with the term THC. It's a common phrase used when you talk about using medical cannabis or medical marijuana, as people may call it, and THC is a cannabinoid. So it's a constituent that's found in the plant that is creating particular effects within the human body. Research has discovered that we have these similar compounds within our body called endocannabinoids, and those endo meaning we produce these chemicals, so to speak, within the human body, and we find mirror constituents within cannabis. So in a lot of ways, the human body is designed to work with this medicine. We have receptor sites for the cannabinoids to fit in beautifully because we make similar products within our own bodies.
Well, that's really interesting. So we make them to do what? I mean, so do we are able to produce them ourselves. And then the cannabinoids or cannabinoids, break my pronunciation.
Tomato, tomato.
which are available through the plants are similar in nature and have similar effects in the body. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so if
hey, Mar, you want to
jump in?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the endocannabinoid system, we essentially have two major receptors, CB1 and CB2. CB1 receptors are primarily found in the brain and the peripheral nervous system. CB2 receptors are primarily found on the immune cells in the immune system. And so to explain cannabinoids, cannabis, hemp's vast medicinal properties and benefits comes down to the fact that our endocannabinoid system in itself is a kind of an overall modulating system that works with other neurotransmitter systems as well as hormones to provide basically homeostasis of the body. And so that's why when you supplement with exocannabinoids, in this case cannabinoids such as THC and CBD from cannabis, you are stimulating those receptors in those vast numbers of different psychological pathways, and that's how you can get such a variety of effect for pretty much any ailment that you can think of, actually.
Well, okay, we'll go into that in more depth, but I have a couple of questions. What is the difference between hemp products and marijuana-based products?
So the main difference, actually, and Deanna, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they are related as far as being a similar species. The main difference biochemically is just in the cannabinoid and other constituent ratios. So they are very similar, the main one being hemp has less THC, cannabis has more, and then you go into the political, legal aspects, which is pretty much the major difference is hemp is legal, cannabis is not right now.
Okay, so they're a similar plant, but their constituents makes one legal that has less of the active ingredient that gets you high. Is that correct?
Right.
Saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, so so the one that's legal now is the hemp-based products. Is that what you are formulating, Deanna, at Elixir?
Well, we actually work with both.
Dixie began traditionally as a cannabis, and when we say cannabis, we're talking about what your listeners may consider medical marijuana. So Dixie began as a cannabis-based product company making a variety of internal and topical medicines that focus on using the plant that has high THC content. And we've recently branched out into working with products that are focused on constituents derived from industrial farmed hemp. So as Tamar explained, the difference in these two sister plants is that medical marijuana or cannabis has a high amount of THC, and it's kind of the constituent or the cannabinoid that's getting a lot of attention now that goes along with THC is called CBD. And so medical marijuana has relatively low levels of CBD, whereas hemp has high levels of CBD. So Dixie has now branched out into working with creating products that are high in CBD, and we're seeing some very fabulous results coming from those products and a lot of great research happening around the world on the effects of that particular cannabinoid.
Okay, so I'm sure people who are listening to our conversation are really curious to know what are the conditions that can benefit from taking these products. And we'll talk about how these products are delivered, because you have a variety of delivery methods.
Yes. I would say the sky's the limit, really, on conditions that could be benefited from these plants. I consider hemp and medical cannabis to sort of be what I would call as an herbalist a panacea plant, meaning that it's really working to provide symptom relief for such a huge variety of situations. When you look at how THC and CBD are working in the body, interacting with neurotransmitters, working with receptor sites on our nervous tissue, working with receptor sites in major organs in the body, it seems very reasonable when you begin to do that research to understand how cannabis therapy can really benefit almost any condition.
Okay, so give me some examples of the kinds of conditions that people have benefited from. I mean, I mentioned earlier that I have friends who've been using this to help with breast cancer. So what's the relationship of these active ingredients in cancer?
Well, with breast cancer, actually, that was a fairly recent study that came out in California. Another thing that is interesting about cannabinoids is the effect it has on women. We like to say that it is a women's herb. It seems that for women we have less receptors, but they're more efficient, and so we feel the effects of cannabinoids more. So specific to breast cancer, CBD was actually the cannabinoid that was studied, and it had a multi-method approach to basically not only starving the cancer by blocking blood vessel growth to the actual tumor, but it also acts as a signal transcription factor, or a signaling molecule that basically communicates to the cancer cell, because it recognizes it as non-human, to commit apoptosis or commit suicide. So it essentially tells the cancer to consume itself. So in multiple modes of action, it can completely drown cancer cells.
Wow. Is that true for all types of cancers?
So right now the research has been, breast cancer, prostate cancer, I want to say lung cancer. I think the list is up to 8 right now that have been clinically studied. But they are finding that CBD does act similarly in most forms of metastatic cancer, because it does act as a signaling molecule and recognizes, it has the ability to recognize human versus non-human cells.
So if people are interested in using this, I would imagine as part of a protocol, not necessarily doing this on its own, but as part of a protocol, where do they get guidance on how to do this and what kinds to take? What is the best form to take, or what are the clinical studies, what have the clinical studies shown as far as the best forms to take?
Right now, with the dosages needed for complete submersion of a cancer tumor, one of the benefits of cannabinoids are that they are non-toxic. They have very little side effects. the difference between THC and CBD, because THC does have anti-tumoral properties as well, but a patient who would take, say, 1,500 milligrams would have that psychoactive effect and would essentially be too high and would most likely go to sleep. With CBD, it's actually non-psychotropic, so you can take, the literature has shown upwards of almost 2 grams, 2,000 milligrams at a time, and there's no adverse side effects, no toxicity, and so that's why it is such a beneficial treatment, because you don't have to worry about any kind of overdosing or toxicity or side effects that are unpleasant. So the best method would most likely be injection, but Deanna can jump in topical application directly on skin cancers, or suppository for prostate cancer would bring the medicine directly to that location.
Right. Oh, wow. Do you have anything else you want to add, Deanna?
You know, I think that there, the thing that's interesting about this particular plant medicine is there's so many different ways to consume it. And what I discover when I talk with people is that most people are unaware of the fact that there are other ways to ingest this that are not smoking. You know, most people associate cannabis use with smoking, and that's a turnoff for a lot of people, particularly people that are health-minded. And so one of the really exciting things that's coming out of this movement and the educational awareness is understanding, as Tamar said, that, you know, you can take extracts that are in tincture form. You can use the medicine topically to apply to various skin cancers, or if you're working with physical pain, it's very beautiful medicine for relieving that. So there's really a lot of different ways to utilize the medicine, and I think that we're beginning to see an interest by the medical community in understanding all of these varieties and helping people get access to the information. So it really kind of comes down to exactly what symptoms are happening within each individual and what ailments and conditions that they're working with.
Okay, so if you're dealing with a cancer such as a breast cancer, so you can take some of the topical formulations, do you also take it internally and orally as well?
I would say that if you're working with something like breast cancer, that you're going to get quite a lot of benefit out of an internal application. Mm-hmm. You can certainly use the cannabis infused oils and salves topically on the breast, and we actually, to link back to your reference earlier with historical data, we have some historical information that shows that many cultures for quite a long period of time, it was a common practice to use the leaves and the flowers of cannabis as a topical poultice or as an oil infusion to place on inflamed breast tissue to reduce swelling, reduce pain, and to actually help, as the texts say, dispel disease. As you look at historical documents, there's often very little specific scientific language about it, but you get an idea that they were using it to counteract the negative effects of any kind of disease state taking place in the breast. So I would say that for modern-day women with breast cancer, working a combination of internal and topical therapy would be a really fabulous route to pursue.
Okay, I have lots of questions. Before we leave the realm of cancers, there are two different forms, one's from hemp and one's from marijuana plant, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so, and one has the high THC, so do people get high on this? Does it alter their perceptions of reality, or, you know, does it have an effect?
The internal remedies from medical cannabis or medical marijuana, you will certainly have a psychoactive effect. There will be an altered state of consciousness, perceptions altered. One of the wonderful things about the topical therapy with medical cannabis is that very few people experience any of these side effects. Most people can use very strong oil extractions and salves to work with pain in all forms on their body and not have any mental effects. So it's a really wonderful way for people who, you know, have work to do during the day. It's not appropriate for them to be altered, or they just simply don't enjoy that effect of this plant medicine. Exploring topical therapies is a really wonderful way for these people to get the relief from the plant without having that unwanted side effect. But certainly ingesting it either in the form of a tincture, an edible, or some kind of smoke therapy, you will have the side effects of being high. Whereas working with some kind of concentrate from hemp does not have that side effect for most people.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to clarify, so there's not any confusion, both cannabis, medicinal cannabis, and hemp are related. The molecules inside them, THC and CBD, even though they're different ratios, they are the same molecule. Mm-hmm. It's just the legal political ramifications put on cannabis versus hemp. With that said, high THC does cause psychotropic effects, and when you ingest delta-9 THC, which is the main THC, it actually undergoes metabolism into 11-OH THC, which is four times more psychoactive. So doing a smoking versus a edible, they're completely different routes of administration, onset of benefits, and then also the length of time. With that said, if you were to add CBD, research has shown that CBD is the element that kind of counteracts or mitigates the negative side effects of THC. So if you were to take an edible or some kind of oral administration that has THC but also an amount of CBD, that would help limit the negative, the high feeling.
Which isn't
that
negative
THC
for everybody, of course.
Right, of course. Well, and by negative, I mean there's acute effects and then there's chronic effects. Right. So obviously people who have been supplementing with exocannabinoids for a period of time won't feel those acute effects as much as someone who is not used to it. So until a tolerance is built, that's the only thing I'm referencing, is it can be a bit unpleasant, but with proper dosing, proper combination of medicine delivery systems, you can build yourself up to a tolerance without feeling any kind of negative side effects.
Okay, so one last question on this topic. Mm-hmm. Well, where would people go to get guidance on how to properly dose or build up tolerance, or which form to use? What do you recommend to people? What are your
That's an excellent question, and I think that we have a lack of experts available in the community, you know, really accessible to the average person in terms of guidance. I think that the medical profession is just now beginning to embrace this medicine, and so it's going to take a little time for physicians to really understand how to make these recommendations. I don't have actually a neat and tidy answer. I offer classes in the community, and I know there are other experts around, particularly in states where medical cannabis is available. So you can seek these out. Often herbalists and naturopaths have some access to this kind of information and can be helpful. And there are quite a few progressive Western medical physicians that are also taking it upon themselves to educate themselves about the use of this. And after that, if those resources prove to be ineffective, then, you know, doing some really focused searches online. There's a lot of fabulous resources out there as well. But, of course, any kind of online search you have to take with a grain of salt and make sure you're getting accurate information.
Right.
Tamar, do you have any thoughts?
Well, and as you had mentioned, we are seeing a lot more naturopathic and homeopathic doctors calling in, as well as progressive Western doctors. In fact, there's a seminar in Arizona next month that I will be speaking at to a room full of naturopathic doctors who would like to get this sort of information so that they can start prescribing it to their patients along with their other homeopathic options. So as Deanna was saying, right now I'd say the acceptance of this is still early, but we are seeing a progression of more doctors willing to learn the information so that they can be an available source of information for their patients.
And I mean, you are selling these products on your website, correct? People can just order them on their own.
Yes, the hemp-based products. Yes, the hemp-based products.
Yeah, the cannabis products have to stay in, within the state of Colorado.
Oh, within the state. Okay, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk about the role of these products for pain. You know, pain, I was just, I guess a television show I was watching recently somewhere. I was watching some program that was just talking about how serious the issue is with all of these powerful pain meds and how people are getting so addicted to them, whether it's oxycodone or OxyContin, you know, I mean, we have a long list of them. So this is an option for people who are dealing with pain and are choosing to find another option than dealing with these powerful morphine-based products. Can you talk about that?
Sure. With the current opiates and current pharmaceutical analgesics, as you were saying, there is the worry of developing a tolerance and then a dependence because of how those receptors and that those neurotransmitter systems work. With that said, cannabinoids are actually opening more research into what is typically known about tolerance and dependence because it doesn't act in that same manner. Because we have our own endocannabinoid system and receptors and the enzymes, everything needed basically to process, metabolize, and then break down exocannabinoids because the body sees them as similar enough to the endocannabinoids. So what actually happens when you're taking cannabinoids is you build a, it's more like an equilibrium than an actual drug tolerance or drug dependence because you also do not go through withdrawal symptoms when you stop cannabinoid use. So with that said, cannabinoids are very useful in pain. But what has also been found recently is they can potentiate or act in synergy with typical opiate drugs. So if you are trying to switch over, what you can do first is titrate the level. So you need much less of a typical opiate dose if you have CBD added with it because CBD actually responds to opiate receptors and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So much smaller dose is needed, and then eventually you can supplement cannabinoids only because they do work with those same neurotransmitter systems as the other traditional analgesics. But it's much safer because it's a much more natural molecule that is providing the pain relief. And so that's the molecular level. What cannabinoids also do is mentally they help you forget about the pain by, as Deanna was saying, altering your state of consciousness, the way you think. And in fact, women have the most CB1 receptors in our amygdala versus men, and the amygdala is responsible for emotion, negative memories, or stress. And so it helps you have pain relief by basically thinking about other things. So you're not focusing on the pain and intensifying it by thinking about it.
That's so interesting.
And with pain relief, oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, and we can just continue this conversation, but basically if a person is on some form of pain meds, they can begin to wean themselves off, reduce the dosage, and use the hemp products, which that's sold throughout the country.
Right.
You can send them to anyone around the country and kind of begin to transition. So they can transition easily, effortlessly, without the withdrawal effects. And,
right.
And then be able to just use those hemp products to manage pain for however, until they can either do their own healing or whatever the condition is that requires effective pain meds for their ability to function.
Of course, you'd want to be working intimately with your physician, the prescribing physician for the existing pain medications because, as Tamar mentioned, the withdrawal effects from some of those pharmaceuticals can be fairly intense. So as you're stepping your dosage down of those and supplementing with a cannabis or hemp-based product, you'll want to be working with the physician to make sure that you're dropping your dose appropriately to minimize some of those withdrawal effects. But one of the wonderful ways that you can begin to utilize cannabis
top is to have topical application as well. And I find that a lot of people really are attracted to using cannabis products and hemp-based products for pain relief topically, because a lot of people are nervous to begin this kind of therapeutic. You know, maybe they've had a negative experience in the past, or they're concerned about the cultural stigma surrounding the plant. The topical application, as we mentioned earlier, causes little to no psychoactive effects. So this is a very attractive route for people to begin taking for pain relief. And I've heard, you know, very wonderful stories for all kinds of different pain, arthritic pain, injury, muscle pain. I even had a woman who was rubbing some of our salve on her belly for pain associated with endometriosis and was finding long-lasting relief throughout the day from that. So the types of pain that this plant medicine can help with are vast. Very, very many different kinds of pain can be addressed topically as well as internally.
Well, this is such an exciting conversation for me. I'm sure it's exciting for lots of people listening. We're going to continue with it, but we need to take a very quick break. So I don't want you to go away. I don't want any of my listeners to go away, because we have more fascinating information to come. So stay tuned. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and we are having a discussion about the many healing benefits from medical marijuana and medical health hemp that is really now available. We're talking to two wonderful women who are part of Dixie Elixirs and Edibles, which is a herbal dispensary. Is that correct? Can I say it's an herbal dispensary? Would that be a fair?
We actually supply products to dispensaries in the state of Colorado.
Thank you.
So we're a manufacturer.
Okay, manufacturers. And we're talking to Deanna Gabriel, who is a certified clinical herbalist and clinical nutritionist who helps to formulate many of these products, and Tamar Wise, who is head of the science division at Dixie Elixirs and Edibles. So we've been talking about the use of these products for cancers and for pain. Is there anything that we need to complete in our conversation about the use of the either the medical marijuana? That's only if you live within the state of Colorado, right? Because you can't get that out. You can't be sent across the borders at this point. Or I guess California, too, right? California is also legal in California? Medical marijuana.
There are many states now that have legal access.
Yeah, so wherever it's legal, people can either get the medical marijuana formulations, or what people can utilize and can be mailed to you wherever you are in the United States is the medical hemp products that have similar benefits. So anything else that you want to say about the use for pain?
I would say try it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
people
can
actually
order them, right?
I mean,
people can go to the website. Can go to DixieElixirs.com to find out more about these products.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. So, if anyone is interested and curious from this conversation, and certainly if you're dealing with pain, or if you're dealing with it on your healing journey to cancer. For cancer, you can go to DixieElixirs.com and get more information. Let's talk about some of the other benefits and conditions that actually can benefit from the use of the, we'll talk about the hemp products, because that's one that's most readily available for people all over the world, or at least all over the country. I don't know, these can't be sent over. Can they be sent overseas, or you don't send overseas, do you?
Not yet. I believe we're working on that. I'm not sure what the status is currently.
Well, actually, I've sent some of these products to patients overseas.
Well, now that's a different story. But Dixie, officially, I don't know that we're able to accept orders at this time internationally.
No,
but
that's a goal. You know, I'm so glad we're starting to get enlightened on this subject, because from everything both of you have been sharing with us, this is truly one of those gifts from nature to support our healing on so many levels. And it's finally being made available to us. Thank goodness.
Definitely. You know, we've heard as we've been offering the CBD hemp-based products out to customers, we've heard back from so many people sharing their stories of what they've experienced by using these remedies. And, you know, it seems like every day there's some report that someone is giving us where a seemingly miraculous experience is being had by people as they're using these. And some of the things that I've been most touched by are the reports from people that are using the Dixie Botanicals or the hemp-based products and finding amazing results with mental conditions or with social anxieties. Or, you know, we've heard reports from people with schizophrenia having amazing results from them, or other kinds of, I think Tamar and I were just discussing the use in conditions of autism, and there's just such a growing number of, you know, maybe what you would consider mental or social health disorders, that these products seem to be having such a positive effect on people's lives and the quality of life that they're living.
So Dana, can you give us some of those personal stories? Can you tell us a little bit more about what people have been experiencing?
Well, we're seeing reports of people with fairly debilitating mental conditions where, you know, perhaps they're immobile, they're unable to leave the house, they're unable to function in their daily routine, and taking some of these products and having, you know, suddenly it's like the light was turned on and they're able to, you know, get up and begin to make their way to work or to interact with family members, you know, children using these are teenagers using these products that are having, you know, emotional outbursts, mood disorders, finding calming effects from those. It's just really incredible to hear how people are able to kind of pick themselves up once they begin using these hemp-based products and engage in their life again and interact with their loved ones.
And in fact, there's a theory out there that because the endocannabinoid system is so vast in how many different processes it oversees, basically, and how many systems it's actually involved in, there's a theory that a lot of unknown ailments, or ailments that you know, doctors still don't really have a discernible cause for example, migraine, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, those ailments that aren't really known what causes them yet. One theory is that there's an endocannabinoid deficiency, and that is the cause of some of these ailments. So as Deanna was saying, when some of our patients start supplementing with exocannabinoids, it brings balance and homeostasis to a system that may have already been deficient, and it helps the body run smoothly. It helps it instill health. And as Deanna was saying, a lot of our patients, it's like night and day. We've had many testimonials where, I mean, we all get emotional. It's an amazing herb. It's helped so many people. As Deanna was saying, an autistic boy, his mother started giving him our Dixie Botanicals tincture, and she said it was like a completely different boy because he didn't have any more anger. CBD has been shown to induce and increase oxytocin, which is the love hormone, and so it was helping him be more interactive with his peers at school and with his family, and that's just one case out of hundreds that we've gotten feedback on.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. What about schizophrenia? You were talking about that it has helped people with schizophrenia. How do you have any idea what that mechanism is? Is it, again, just working with the neurotransmitters? And
Right, and so because it involves serotonin and dopamine neurotransmitter systems, it is theorized that CBD, because THC, there was a hypothesis earlier that said THC or cannabis induced schizophrenia or other mental disorders of that type, but what the new literature is showing is that it actually, just because it speeds up the development of the brain, the synaptic firing of the brain, what it can do is just speed up when that symptom or when that psychosis would actually present. So instead of typically being 23 to 25, I think is when schizophrenia is presented, if someone were to, say, be using excessive cannabinoids during puberty, they could speed it up so that it would show around 18 to 20. But that's with THC and only with people who are predisposed. The newest literature is showing that CBD is actually the antipsychotic. It, through working with dopamine and serotonin, calms irrational thoughts, paranoia. We had a testimonial of a schizophrenic patient who, I think he just tried one half dropper full of one of our tinctures, and he said it was the first time in 25 years that he could stand on his porch and listen to the birds and the wind without hearing any kind of voices in his head. And that was just the very first dose that he had tried. Each person's biochemistry is different. Mm. Some people need a little bit more dosing to feel effects, but so far we've gotten a number of feedback on psychological disorders like schizophrenia, also post-traumatic stress disorder as well, and anxiety and depression.
So we're seeing with this, the CBD is acting in a lot of ways as a serotonin uptake inhibitor, which is what a lot of antipsychosis meds are doing. So what that means is that it's blocking the serotonin from, it's actually using up some of the receptor sites, and it's increasing circulating levels of serotonin. And so even though serotonin is not a hormone, it's been called the happiness hormone. So there's a lot of relaxation, a lot of mood regulation associated with serotonin. So there's many conditions that I'm sure the listeners are working with where they're using some kind of medication that's working as a serotonin uptake inhibitor, and that's what we're seeing as one of the possible effects of the CBD hemp-based products.
Well, that really gets my attention, because if we can find, and of course we know we do have options to antidepressants, which are so, in my opinion, disastrous on many levels. So this is just another one of those natural options that can support people in getting back that balance and working with their neurotransmitters so they can have that sense of well-being, but not relying on medications to do that, which is wonderful. We need to find more of those options.
And very similar to the opiate receptors, as Deanna was saying, cannabinoids also have effect at the serotonin receptors. So similarly, if you are taking an SSRI antidepressant, if you wanted to down titrate that dose while you're taking CBD, again, you can eventually supplement cannabinoids for what the SSRI was doing in the first place with much less side effects and toxicity.
Well, that's great news, I have to say. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be listening to that. Let's talk about some women's health issues. So you were saying that you have testimonials from probably more than one woman who have been dealing with the pain of conditions such as endometriosis and have received benefit from using the, we're really talking about the hemp products the products we're mentioning right now are the hemp-based products. So what else do we need to know about these products and women's hormonal system?
Well, it's actually very interesting how tied the endocannabinoid system is to hormones and, we've already talked about other neurotransmitter systems. But with hormones, it's fairly recent, within the last 5-10 years, that they are finding that there can be some fluctuations. For example, with a woman's monthly cycle and the fluctuation of estrogen, the amount of CB receptors also fluctuates. So there is a direct synergy with cannabinoids and hormones, and then hormones and cannabinoids. It's not as well studied. They are still trying to find the exact mechanisms, but it is known that there is some kind of synergistic cooperation. So supplementing cannabinoids, even at a lower level, say not for a specific ailment, but just as a nutrition or neuroprotective or a hormone stabilizer, you could ingest or use a topical application of hemp cannabinoids every day, and that would help your hormone system, your neurotransmitter systems work more efficiently, because cannabinoids are those messenger molecules that essentially every system uses.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's like a whole new world as far as what, you know, what really is going on with our endocrine system. Who would have thought?
Right. You know, and just on a, you know, practical application discussion, women constantly are, you know, working to minimize or to move through the effects of hormones, whether it's a menstrual cycle. You know, a lot of women suffer from symptoms of PMS or even just mild mood swings. And then, of course, there's the symptoms that are associated with menopause. And they're very challenging times for women. And this particular plant can really offer a lot of support, both with physical discomfort as well as with emotional discomfort that are associated with some of those just typical hormone fluctuations that you see in a regular cycle, whether that's monthly or whether that's throughout a long-term cycle of a woman's life. So I think working with both medical cannabis and these hemp-based products, it could be a really helpful avenue for a lot of women that are experiencing difficulties with some of these, you know, monthly timings or with menopausal symptoms.
So, you know, we're kind of coming close to the end of the show. Is there anything else that we need to touch upon as far as the application of these products, conditions that would benefit that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, to further the hormone synergy, recently it's also been found that cannabinoids interact with ghrelin. As most people know, cannabis can give new naive users munchies, or it can increase their appetite. But CBD has a reverse effect, so there is potential for cannabinoid weight loss supplements, because it does. Your endocannabinoid system is involved in energy homeostasis and also appetite and palatability, how stuff tastes to you. So there is application for women who want to get to a healthier weight to use cannabinoids to help succeed there.
Oh, that's so interesting. Wow. So this would just be taking like a capsule of it. Is that the best form, or is that what you're offering as a, you know, for all these
right.
applications, you would take it as, does it come as a tincture, or what are the forms that it's available?
Right now we have three forms. We have the topical application in the form of a balm or a salve. We have the two oral applications, which one is a tincture in two sizes. The smaller and then the large size, and then the other, the last, is a 25 milligram capsule. So you can either take the capsule or use the tincture or use a combination of both or all three.
Great. Well, that really opens up so many avenues for people who are looking for support, or and particularly, I'm sure, people who are dealing with pain, people who are you know, addressing cancer. But as you mentioned, it's just, I can see where it is, you know, has infinite possibilities and how we can use this. You have some of, on your website, I'm just looking at your website, and you have some products there, beverages and chocolates, but these are the THC. These are the medical marijuana delivery
yes.
systems, right? So
yes.
you have to be in your state to get them. You have to be in Colorado.
Yes, and we are expanding to Arizona, and we do have some distributors in California, but we are hoping to expand our medical marijuana line nationally as well. But it would still be limited to the states that are currently legal, whereas our, as you were saying, our botanical line is legal for any state right now.
Right. So do you see just from the position you're in that this trend to legalize medical marijuana is really gaining a momentum around the country? Do you think it'll be available in all states?
I think it is. I think that you know, situations like this right now where people are having discussions about the medicinal benefit of this plant, those situations are growing and the opportunities are coming about more and more frequently. And it's a hot topic now. So I think that, you know, when you have a cultural stigma about anything, the first step to kind of debunking the myths around that is education and conversation, and we're certainly seeing a lot of that happening on a national level as well as an international level. So I would definitely expect to see there will be more and more states at least addressing the possibility of embracing medical cannabis in the coming years.
Well, I hope Go ahead.
I was just saying, as Deanna and I were talking before we came on, everyone knows somebody who could benefit from cannabis as medicine. I personally, my grandmother was diagnosed with pre-Alzheimer's. My dad had pain. My entire family, before I started working in this industry, was against marijuana because of the stigma, the misrepresentation of fact. But the more I talked to them, the more I educated them, they've completely turned around and, in fact, are trying to share that knowledge. The applications are limitless. You could prevent heart disease and stroke because CBD breaks up plaque development. You can prevent any kind of dementia because it's a neuroprotectant. It basically sits in your myelin sheath surrounding your neurons and protects your neurons from degradation. As Deanna was saying, the conversation just needs to be opened. We are finding more people who were previously just completely against it and didn't want to hear anything about it are much more open because the science is finally pushing through and we are rediscovering something that we, I think, have always known was beneficial.
You know, it is like a revelation. It's like the veil is lifting off of the use of medical marijuana and medical hemp that I think is a revelation for most people listening to this show, and which is wonderful because these are the solutions we're all looking for. They're safe, natural, and can certainly offer people so much relief, whatever their conditions may be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's just give the website again. So why don't you just give the website if people want to learn more or are interested in looking at some of the products. If they're in state, you can have access to chocolate truffles and drinks. I mean, it looks pretty amazing. And if you're out of state, then you have to go over to the hemp products that are also available. And as was mentioned, as a balm, as a tincture, as oral capsule. So what's the best place to go? So give that website.
Okay, so the Botanicals website we've recently launched, so that is dixiebotanicals.com, and that is our hemp-based products that can be sold nationally, and those are those three products we had discussed. And dixieelixirs.com is for our Colorado THC-based product line.
Fantastic. Well, we've come to the end of the show. Deanna Gabriel and Tamar Wise, thank you so much. They have been talking to us. They're associated with Dixie Botanicals and Dixie Elixirs. It's been a pleasure, and it has really been so enlightening for me. Thank you so much for joining me today.